Another passage from the New Testament, this time from the writings of the Apostle Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. Listen to God's word. Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, though you know them already and are established in the truth that has come to you. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. These two passages by two different apostles, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, which have been read today, have a couple of very striking things in common. First of all, they are among the last written words of those apostles. 2 Peter is considered to be the last writing of the Apostle Peter. 2 Timothy is considered to be the last writing of the Apostle Paul. Another circumstance that they have in common is that when they were written, both Peter and Paul, although not at the same time, were in prison in Rome awaiting their executions. Sometime between 54 and 68 was Nero's reign. And most scholars are agreed that both Peter and Paul were executed, were martyred at Rome under Nero's emperorship, while Nero was emperor. So sometime before 68 AD, not long after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, not many years after all of those incidents in the Acts of the Apostles are recorded for us, these writings were made under the circumstances of both of the authors being in Roman prison awaiting their execution. Peter says to them, "Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, so you know them already and are established in the truth that has come to you. And I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you will be able at any time to recall these things." Now, scholars are also agreed that Peter did not found the church at Rome, neither did the Apostle Paul found the church at Rome. Most believe that it was people who were present in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost who carried back that good word, that good news back to Rome, and that the church, when both of these men were there, was a church that was going on itself. It was a church that was, when they were there, that was going under persecution, especially under Nero. Peter would be executed. Peter would be crucified. We place the great emphasis on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, as of course we should, because he is the Lamb of God whose death takes away the sins of the world. And we talk about how ghastly it was to be executed in that way, to be crucified, while Peter was also crucified in Rome under Nero. Tradition has it that he did not think himself worthy to die in exactly the same way that Jesus died, so he asked and was granted to him that he be crucified upside down. That's legend. I don't know how accurate that is. But we do know that he was in Rome, that he was crucified, martyred there. Paul, also sometime in the 60s, in fact, a couple of times in the decade of the 60s, was in Rome. The book of the Acts of the Apostles ends with Paul in Rome under house arrest, waiting to appear before the court. Scholars are pretty sure that that's around the year 62 AD, so early in that decade. However, it's believed that when he wrote the books of Timothy, especially 2 Timothy, that it was much later than that, a few years later than that, that he had been released from that house arrest, the first house arrest in Rome, probably in AD 64, and had traveled, according to some of the plans that he wanted to do, into Spain and other parts of around that area. One of the reasons we believe this is because he gives Timothy specific instructions to pick up things in places where he had been. Paul is in Roman prison in chains this time, not under house arrest. He has already appeared before the court once, as he writes to Timothy, because he said the first time he appeared there, everybody abandoned him. The only person who is there with him is Luke, the gospel writer Luke. He wants Timothy, a beloved son in the faith, who is the preacher, the elder in the city of Ephesus. He wants Timothy to come to him, and he wants him to bring some things with him. One of the things he wants him to bring is his cloak, his heavy cloak that he left in Troas with a particular individual. Because the book ends, it wasn't read because it's a little later in the very, very last words of the Apostle Paul, the very last verses, he says this to Timothy, do your best to come before winter. Bring that cloak. I'm going to need it before winter. Bring with you Mark also, which is an amazing thing, because the last time we have seen in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Mark and Paul together, they were splitting up. Paul did not want Mark to stay with him, but he sent Mark away with Barnabas. They had a falling out. But now, at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul is asking Timothy to come before winter, bring that cloak, and bring Mark with you as well. He's a comfort to me. Paul is alone. He has been abandoned. He is facing death, and he would appear a second time, not before Nero. Nero didn't take these kinds of cases himself, but other emperors did, but someone appointed with the authority of the emperor. Paul would have appeared, and he gave testimony to his faith to Jesus Christ, but he was found guilty of disturbing the peace, of sedition, of purporting this new faith, and he too was sentenced to be executed. However, Paul, unlike Peter, was a Roman citizen, which There's a circumstance about that. His father probably did great service, perhaps as a tent maker, to the Roman army at some point along the line and was granted citizenship. And so Paul himself was a Roman citizen. Therefore, he was not subject to crucifixion. No Roman citizen could be crucified. So as tradition holds, he was most probably, since he wasn't crucified, beheaded with the sword. But he died also in Rome, after having been in a Roman prison and after having from prison written these words. But the one thing, or the couple of things, that he really, really wanted Timothy to bring to him in prison, not just the cloak before winter, not just John Mark, who would come, who would be a comfort to him, one who had previously they had had a falling out, but by all means, he says, when you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. What he's talking about are the codices upon which the Old Testament were written, and the books in kind of parchment form that were also written, some of the New Testament as it was being formed, some of the sayings of Jesus, perhaps the source that's been lost that scholars have called Q, which was beyond just what we have of the writing of the Gospel of Mark, which Matthew and Luke drew upon, but another source that many scholars believe circulated with some of the sayings of Jesus that they call Q, which is an abbreviation from the German for source. Perhaps that was what it was, or perhaps there were other early sayings of Jesus. That's what Paul wanted above everything else. He wanted the scripture. Basically, that is saying, give me the Bible. Give me those writings that were left behind. Because both Peter and Paul are talking about the importance and the significance of the scripture as God's word. We have one of the clearest statements here in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. Again, among the last words that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says this, verse 16, all scripture, meaning all of the Old Testament, meaning all of the writings about Jesus Christ, and we're going to see in a minute, even the writings of Peter and Paul. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired. What that word means in the Greek is God breathed. It comes from the mouth of God, from the breath of God himself. It is God breathed. The scripture is inspired by God. Well, let's go back and look at that. What Peter says, he says basically similar, just the same things, although he says it in slightly different words. Where I started out reading is that Peter is saying, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things. Well, the things he intends to keep on reminding them of are what he and the other apostles have been teaching, based on the Old Testament scriptures, based on the fulfillment of those scriptures in Jesus Christ. And Peter says, we didn't make this stuff up. We're not just teaching you about myths that we have heard about. We're telling you about things that we witnessed ourselves. And then he gives the example that Peter and John and James were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's the event he's referring to here. When Jesus was glorified and kind of a prefiguration of the glory that he would have after his death and resurrection. When Moses appeared there and Elijah appeared there, symbolizing all of the scripture, the books of Moses, the book of law, Elijah, the prophet. So the law and the prophets were bearing testimony and witness that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the scriptures. And Peter said, I was there. I heard God's voice from heaven. I heard God's voice say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I saw him radiate with brightness. He doesn't say it, but it's in there, as he was transfigured before our very eyes. We saw his glory and the voice of the majestic glory. So what we're teaching you is not anything we made up, but it is God's word confirmed in what we saw and heard with our own eyes. The ultimate fulfillment, the ultimate credential would be not just the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, but it would be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We write to you as those who have known Jesus Christ in the flesh, for we have seen him in the flesh, resurrected. And so he goes on to say that, so we have these prophetic messages more fully confirmed, and you will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place. There we go with the children's message. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto our paths, a light shining in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. And he says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture, just like what the Apostle Paul has said, is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God, saying the exact same thing that Paul was saying. All Scripture is inspired by God. Men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. And at the very, very end of his letter, the very, very last things he writes, he says this: therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things that he has written about, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. Now listen to what Peter says. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this age as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So what we have is Peter encouraging the people to whom he's writing, as he is writing from prison in Rome, that the writings that his teaching and the writings of the Apostle Paul are on the level of Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God. Let me see where I can go with this when I have time. I don't have time to give you the 4 points I was going to give you, but I'll give you one of them. There was a philosophy professor at Gordon College. I went to Gordon Conwell Seminary, which is nearby. When Aldo Maselli went to Gordon Divinity School, it was on the campus of Gordon College. There was a philosophy professor at Gordon College by the name of Grady Spires. Now, if ever anybody looked like a philosophy professor, it was Grady Spires. He had white hair. He had a short but very well-trimmed and nice full beard. If he were heavier, he'd look like Santa Claus. But he looked like a philosophy professor with that. And sometimes he would preach. As a layperson, he would preach in the Presbyterian Church. I attended some, actually, after seminary, after I graduated seminary while I was beginning graduate school at Harvard. And Grady would wear, when he preached, he would wear a three-piece suit. So you picture this guy, white hair, white beard, three-piece suit. And he would stand and he would preach with his hand on his lapel, okay, of his jacket. Get the picture? And one time he was talking about this, the authority of Scripture. And he said this. He says, as a philosophy professor at a Christian college, people ask me all the time, how can they know that the Bible really is God's word? How can they know that it is inspired by God? How can they know that it is the word of God, that the Spirit moved men and women and to speak God's word? And Grady Spire says this: sometimes I get tired of trying to give them all of the defenses about all of these things that, like, I've been already talking to you about the witness of the apostles and the witness of the church. And so he said, now I've come to the point, I'm backing away from the microphone, that when they ask me, how do I know, standing very erect, that the Bible is the Word of God, this is what I tell them: read it! But there was a second part to his sermon. Do it! It was the Nike way of approach to the Bible. How do you know that it's the Word of God? Now I'll come back to me. Read it. Hey, no big surprise here. The sermon title, which I did go back to using titles because I guess on the website we need titles for people to find things, is Take Up and Read. It's a phrase that St. Augustine said when he heard this word in a garden. It said, kind of take up and read. And he went back and picked up the scripture, the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he read, and it changed his life. So if you want to know that the Bible is the Word of God, read it. Yeah, we could give you all kinds of intellectual reasons why it's trustworthy. We could talk about, you know, all of the ways that, you know, that we, you know, we emphasize a learned ministry, and we go back and, you know, the original languages as best we can, and all the tools that are there, all the study Bibles that are there for us to take advantage of. But really, it comes down to this: read it. Yeah, maybe it's hard to read. Peter even said, you know, that Apostle Paul writes stuff that's hard to understand. Okay, persevere in it a little bit. Read it. And do it. Put it into practice in your life, because it's a light unto your feet. It's a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path. Go the direction it tells you to go. Take the path it tells you to take. Live the way it shows you to live. If you want to know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the Word of God through the words of human beings, read it. Do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.